Hi, it's Amy with intuitivecoachingwithamy.com, and this show is in support of my spring sale. Today's the last day, the 20th of May. It'll be open. So if you hear this show and you're like, yes, I'm going to go and work with Amy. All my services are 50% off, and it's a great way to get started on whatever goal, desire, dream, level of elevation you want to experience in your life. And so I have a spring sale once a year, and here it is. All right. So this show, if you clicked it, you know, the title is How to Quit Your Job and Start a Passion Business. Of course, I wanted to overthink this, and I was sitting and I was journaling. You know, I love all that stuff, but sometimes, I'll be honest with you, sometimes that can be a distraction if you already have received the download and you know what you're supposed to do. And I was thinking about all the ways I could put this show together. And I was like, no, let me just give it to you straight. So how to quit your job and start a passion business. In case you're new to my program, I'm Amy of intuitivecoachingwithamy.com. I'm an intuitive coach, which means I'm a psychic who coaches. And I also have a second business, writing and publishing books, specifically romance. So I understand passion business. So let's do this. How to quit your job and start a passion business. So number one, and I really, this is the one that was holding me up from recording these, is the message is do your best not to quit your job under duress. And, you know, I channeled this. It all comes together. Duress. I wanted to look it up before I got on here, but let's see. No. Is that the word? Yeah, I guess I do think it is the word, and it's, you know, spirit has given it to me and I know what they mean because I looked at the synonyms, arm twisting, constraints, coercion, force, pressure, compulsion, but it's coming from within you, right? It's like, and so what this might look like is you are in constant conflict with a manager, or you're not producing the way you normally do, and that's creating stress for you. And all of that is a manifestation of the deep desire to start a passion business. But instead of just going for that thing, you have to twist your own arm and create some type of drama. Now I understand it. Man, I the psychic shit that comes through, and I'm going to say that it's not shit. It's just like, oh, I have to, you know, my part of my job is to stop and say, what does that mean? Right. And I'm like, oh, I get like, and I sat with this for days. Like I channeled these messages. Oh my God. Like 4 or 5 days ago, maybe. Really fast. I was in my car and I was like, I pulled out my notebook and I was like, let me just write this down now. And this was what was holding me up because I was like, duress, duress, duress. What does it mean? Yeah. So the arm twisting is not outside of you. The arm twisting is within you. So, and now I get it. Cause I was like, well, you know, sometimes they're in stressful situations, spirit, and they just need to quit and then they'll transition. And maybe it's this, and maybe I should say it like this. No. Essentially, spirit's like, don't twist your own arm to quit your job. If you know you want to start a passion business, don't create a lot of drama and chaos. Yes, there might be drama and chaos going on around you. It might be, you might be in a difficult situation, but you are always in control of how you respond to that. So you could easily look at, let's say it's like really, really busy in your company right now. You know, you're ready to leave your job. You can look at that business and say, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to show up. I'm going to give my best. I've been doing this job a while. I know what to do. There's no reason for me to be up in arms. It's no reason for me to be so stressed out that I can't go home and work on my business. right? Also, if it is that stressful for highly sensitive people, oftentimes we can be in a situation that is just so toxic and so stressful that it's very difficult for us to have enough energy left. That's because we have very porous energetic boundaries. And so if that's the case, then I'm going to say this to you. Now it all makes sense. I promise you, I've been sitting with this message for days trying to figure out, how do you want me to explain this, Spirit? But what about this and this? Now I see it very clearly. So if you are a highly sensitive person and you feel like your current job is toxic, you have this passion business that you want to begin, and you're really struggling to be able to go home and have enough energy to work on the business so that you can transition into it, then I'm going to say this to you. I had this conversation recently with a client. You might have to quit your job. And I'm dancing around it because I just had that conversation with a client. And she was like, deer in headlights. No, I mean, I'm like, honey, you can't go and do what you need to do if you don't have the energy to do it. And if some part of you cannot detach from the toxicity in your workplace, then you have to take good care of yourself and move yourself out of that situation. You can put things in place so that you are safe, right? You can really look at your finances. You can, there are so many different ways that you can transition out of a toxic workplace and not be desolate. But the mind immediately goes there because you're already in a low vibrational state because you've been absorbing all this toxic energy. You've probably been engaging it to some degree, which is all understandable. None of this is your fault. It's just that's where you're at. And so you got to take full and complete responsibility for yourself. And say, this isn't working. I have this passion business I want to do. I don't have the energy to do it because this environment's creating that. And I get it. This is where my paycheck comes from. And it's important. But there has to be another way because money just doesn't come from your job. It actually comes from God. And so God wouldn't put you there to suffer. So you have to be willing to have enough faith and enough, you know, once you have enough faith and enough love for yourself and enough self-respect, and then hopefully enough self-esteem, where you can step back and say, huh, money is just a tool. Is there another way that I can take care of myself while I grow my business or transition, really? Because it's a bridge, but this is tricky because then the mind will get addicted to the bridge and won't leave the bridge job, right? And you'll never really get fully into the passion business. So you have to probably get in some therapy. And if you've done enough therapy and you're clear about what's going on, then you probably need some support. Join a group, hire a coach. You need some support so that you can deal with the part of you that wants to stay stuck in this, the part of you that thinks that your toxic work environment is you, right? And there's no way I can get out of here because then I won't have any money and then I can't start the business and then all my whole life's going to fall apart. You have to find your way out of your version of that story. And I used to think that story was only concocted by maybe people who didn't save or found themselves in situations where life appeared to be paycheck to paycheck. I used to think that only those people have that story. No, high earners who are not living paycheck to paycheck, who have massive savings, still have that storyline. It's not about the money. It's my spirit guides are saying right now, it's about self-esteem. Which, you know, is work on it. It's tough. I won't pretend that healing the self-esteem is easy. But you can. So I would say if you're a highly sensitive person and work is stressing you so badly that you can't work on your business or you can't go and pursue, put things in place so you can transition into the business, then you might need to seriously consider a bridge job, quitting your job, giving yourself X number of months to live off your savings. But again, don't try not to do this abruptly, though you've heard this show now. So I'm hoping you won't do it abruptly, that you'll just take the time and say, let me look at this. And I won't lie to you, it's going to be uncomfortable. You're not going to want to sit down and say, okay, well, how much do I need? Because the same part of you that's keeping you in this toxic work environment is also the part of you that doesn't want to have to really, really, really deal with your stuff like a boss lady. And that's okay. Be kind and gentle. Do it in increments. So when I say look at your stuff, you're going to want to look. Money is a tool, right? We use money to take care of ourselves. We use money to live at the level we wish to live, right? So you have to look at, without getting all too rigid, though sometimes rigid does work in the right context, figure out how much does it cost to live your life? Because I do not believe you starting your passion business means you have to accept a lesser lifestyle. So I want you to hear that. And I want to, my goal is to say that to you in many different ways over the course of this podcast. Just because you want to do your passion, whatever it is, and earn money doing that, does not mean you have to live a lesser lifestyle. It doesn't mean you have to give up the things that you're accustomed to. It doesn't mean you can't live well, take vacations, have health care, feel good, work out with your trainer. Right? It doesn't mean that at all. I know we live in a world that convinces us that, the journey to doing your passion is racked with struggle and climbing and, oh, it's so difficult. And how is it even possible? No, it's all just one version of somebody's reality that we all bought into. But as we all know, there's multiple versions of reality. And I want your version to be where you are in your passion business and you are living at the level that you desire to live, and you are making more than enough money to make that a reality. So do your best not to quit your job under duress. And what my spirit guides are saying is take the time to figure out what you need in place so that you can make this transition. And don't wait until you're just cracked in half. Now, if you do wind up cracking in half, here are my thoughts. And you quit your job and you're like, okay, I'm going to pursue my business. Know that first and foremost, you're going to have to grieve. You're going to have to recover. And you're going to have to take care of yourself. So go ahead and plan for that, right? You're not going to be able to hit the ground running if you are feeling wounded from the job you just left. And so do you see this is all leading us back to don't quit your job under duress? I promise you, I spent so much time with spirit trying to deal. Well, spirit, what if they did this? Or what if this happened and they just had to quit that way? And then and spirit's like, no. The truth is the truth. And I kept coming back. I mean, because my thoughts were, because I wasn't looking at it, I had to look up the definition of duress. I was thinking stressed or you just can't take it anymore and you have to quit. But now that I know what it means, essentially all of this is being created from some part of in you that's afraid to make this leap, right? And so you have to make yourself put yourself or you put up with a situation that makes you so uncomfortable that you have to just bounce. That's kind of the way you get yourself to start your business. And spirit saying, there's another way, which really, if you think about it, based on all the different ways I tried to get you there, that's kind of the only way. If you're going to really do this, you do need to put some things in place. You do need to know what your cost of living is. You do need to know what your income needs to be. You do need to know what you're currently making monthly, both net and gross, so that you can start tailoring your passion business to match that. So this is just all data to help you make informed decisions, right? And oftentimes the part of us that's so afraid that we're going to fail at the passion business doesn't allow us to put things in place so we can make informed decisions. And that's why I'm saying that that would be a good time to get some support. Listen here, don't get support from the people who aren't doing cool ass shit in the world. Right? So really be mindful of who you're talking to. My spirit guides are saying complaining to, because the energy of complaint will attract a person who does nothing but complain. So their wisdom isn't going to be beneficial to you. Real, if you're going to get some support that can really be there for you as you put things in place so that you can make this transition and you don't have to twist your own arm and create a lot of drama and chaos that you'll ultimately have to recover from before you can hit the ground running so you can start this passion business. And now I understand the message completely. Spirit's saying, just kick out all that middle stuff and just go, I'm starting a passion business. What do I need to do first? Okay. So don't quit your job under duress, because you don't have to. Don't force yourself into quitting your job through illness, stress, worry, fear, doubt. Oh my God, I need to go take some mental health days and not come back to work. And if that does go that way, be kind and loving and compassionate and plan for it. So then you really, because here's the thing. If you do plan all these things, then you won't quit your job under duress. But the spirit is so good to us, right? And then if you do leave your job under funky circumstances and you disregard this whole message and you don't put a plan in place and you're just being guided by fear, but you still want to run your passion business, understand that too. Do not make yourself wrong. Do not feel bad, but know you're going to need time to grieve and recover. Be sure to take advantage of every resource available so that you can support yourself through that time, right? You know, and, you know, research everything from healthcare to paid leave to unemployment. Research every option under the sun. You know, depending on the level that you're playing at in your professional life, do you need to go and speak to an attorney? Do you need some type of severance? Whatever it is, do your best to navigate that, even though you might feel uncomfortable, embarrassed, shame, stressed, down about it all, right? You're probably like, well, Amy, why are we starting this way? Because when you desire to start a passion business, that passion and drive is so high. And the longer and longer you avoid living that out and, you know, taking the proactive steps to live that out, right? Putting things in place, even 15 minutes a day, you can put a whole plan in place and execute that plan so that you're full-time in your business making what you want to make. The longer you deny that yourself that, the more and more spirit will, you know, it's twofold. I think spirit's always going to try to help you. And sometimes that help comes in ways that appear backwards so that you can do what you need to do. But more so, that struggle, that internal struggle creates a vibration. The struggle looks like this, this passion you want to do. And then this, all the fear, right? It's not going to work. What if it doesn't work? Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay, what do I do? How do I do this? I've been in this routine for all these years. How am I going to do it? That creates that tension, holds a vibration unto itself, and then it attracts these wacky ass situations that now you feel like you're mired in, right? And so I think this message that spirit is giving us here, don't quit your job under duress, is just saying, hey, start now, take teeny tiny steps, get support to help you navigate the fear, do your own work to navigate the fear, and put things in place so that you can make this move in little teeny tiny chunks, right? Teeny, 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 tiny. Like, okay, I'm going to look up business accounts today and I'm going to open one and my, here are my thoughts on business accounts. I'll just say this to you now, or self-employed people, period. I strongly encourage you to get an account that's free and get an account with no or minimal fees, period. Whether it be overdraft or whatever, no fees. And that usually is going to take you outside of the traditional banks. I would say keep one traditional bank because if ever you need some funding, they do like to see some of the major banks in comparison to the smaller banks. This is a sidebar. I mean, I can talk about all, I mean, I've been doing this for over a decade. So I know every little piece of being a fully self-funded, independent woman running her own business now too. So yeah, that is probably the greatest thing I did was I moved to a bank with no fees. And the downside is I ran into something recently where I needed some funding. And I was denied because they're like, well, you don't have a major bank. And so I would say keep one. Keep a little bit of money in it. In the event you need to take on some funding, right? But that's a sidebar. It's not even in my notes. But again, I can tell you every little trick under the sun. Okay. If you are stressed out and you wind up leaving your job, plan to recover, grieve, get some support, get in some therapy, do that work. Know that you probably really can't hit the ground running in the way that you would want to until you've moved through the cycle of grief. All right. Number two. This is going to be a long show, but it's purposeful. And I know you can come back to it and listen to it again and again. So number two, set the intention. We talked about this, to earn what your last year of work salary is in the first year of your business. So your last full year and your first year in business, those salaries need to be the same. The world is going to tell you that's impossible. You have to struggle. Bull fucking shit. No. If you put things in place just by the law of vibration, you are vibrational match to that amount of money. If you start figuring out how that vibration works for you and what it looks like and what it feels like and how you're able to navigate at that vibration and attract that amount of money in your current job, you must be able to do it in, assuming you're holding no limiting beliefs about it, you must be able to do it in your next job. It's energetic set point is what Amanda Francis calls it. Brian Tracy talks about it. I want to say it's in The Psychology of Selling, where he talks about how we hold a vibration around earning. And unless we shift that vibration, whatever vibration we're at, even if we change jobs, we're going to just turn around and make that same amount of money, no matter what's going on in the world, right? And what do I believe? I believe it's true with this caveat. If you're holding some belief that you can't, then you won't. If you're telling yourself, oh, there's no way. Amy, I'm making, you know, nearly $250,000 right now. There's no way I can make that in my first year of business. Who says? You brilliantly got yourself here. You can brilliantly get yourself over there too, right? There is always a way. If you sit down and work through it. I'm not saying that the answers are going to fall from the sky, and I'm not saying you can put together a pretty little plan and it all fall to come together. There's going to be some trial and error. But you got to, you know, if you give yourself some time before you leave your job and figure it all out, you get some, the right support, you pray, you meditate, you take action, you experiment with things, you will get there. But first you have to set the intention to get there, and you have to let go of all the stories that tell you that you can't, because it's more those stories that tell you that you can't that get in the way. because when you're holding and I can't earn what I was earning in my previous job because now I'm running a passion business, believe me, this is what the world tells us. You're going to choose every path that leads you to the manifestation of that I can't. Or I can only earn this much. Or so-and-so said they did this their first year of business. Mm-mm. Because you do have that power. Yeah, you have that power to really create your reality financially in your business. And everybody's journey to figuring out that power is different. That's why I'm not giving you any do this. Because you're going to have to figure out what your unique relationship is with money so that you can create that. But I promise you, it's not going to take you forever. Hell, for some of you, you could do a meditation and say, meditation during this time. You can set the intention before the meditation and say, you need to show me how I can make what I was making, what I am making right now in my current job, in my passion business in year one. And you may not get an answer the first meditation. You probably will, but you may not be receptive to it because you might be still holding some belief that you can't. So then it becomes your job to really clear out the I can't, right? Just clear it out. Clear it out completely. Let it go. And then set the intention that what you earn your last year on your job, you will earn your first year in your passion business. You will all send me postcards and roses and say thank you, because the world doesn't teach us that. It teaches you struggles. It's going to be awful. You're not going to make what you need to make. You need to put together a huge savings and plan to live off of it. Yeah, all of that is valuable to the degree to which it works for your life. But no, it's all operating under the belief that one is harder than the other, and it's not. It's not any harder working your job every day than it will be running your passion business. Cool. Number three. Now, I'm doing all of these in one big succession. But so plot out and play with your path to the money, right? You're going to have to start playing with things. You're going to have to start different marketing routines, different offerings. What feels good to you? What are you best at? Don't think about what will people buy from me, because people will buy whatever you believe in, right? More than anything else. Yes, there are things that will sell more than other things. I'm not denying that. And yeah, you won't ever really know what people are going to buy, but you can start playing with things, right? You don't know what your hit's going to be. And so, but you need to always have a paycheck waiting in the wings to be cashed, meaning you need to have offerings, right? You need to be able to, you need to have systems for telling people that you exist. You need to have systems for receiving payments. So plot out and play with your path to the money. The goal of work, whether it's passion work, working a corporate job, is to earn. I know that's not a popular way to look at it for spiritual people, but really that's what it is. It's just to earn, right? Yes, love it. I'm doing work I love. Yes, I get it 100%. But passion work is way more rewarding when cash money is involved. Cash money coming into your bank account. Huh, that's the greatest feeling ever. That is the greatest feeling ever when it's something that you created, made. It's so good. So plot out and plan for how you're going to get to the money. It's not that complicated. Again, you'll probably listen to some, and I say this with the utmost respect, I'm deeply attracted to white men, but you'll probably hear some white male on some podcast tell you, it's so hard. It's not. Earning is not hard. And earning in your passion business is not hard. And so you just need to put the systems in place, whatever that might be. And only you will know, and you can work with people. You can study. You can experiment. There are so many ways to figure it out. But know that you will figure it out. The answer's there and available to you right now. It's not hard. It's not hard. You just have to put things in place. Because the business you're working for right now was just made up by somebody who put all the things in place to make it a reality. And you can do the same thing. Number four. Okay, so this is one where I'm going to give you an overview of it, but there are so many theories. There are probably way too many theories in the world as to how to do it. But have some cash on hand. This is the way Spirit gave it to me for you to think about it. You need to have cash to spend on your business. You need to have cash to live on. And you need a cushion. And for many of you, you already have a lot of that. So essentially what you need is you need to factor in how much it costs to make whatever it is that you make in your passion business. Because, you know, you got to pay your expenses. That becomes an expense that you can write off on your taxes. Then you need some income, right? Or you need some money available that you've set aside, knowing that once you spend that money, if you don't have income coming in, it's going to go away. That's why I really hate the wisdom about you need to have 12 months of savings if you're going to go and start a business. Savings is one thing, but if you're looking at that savings is how you're going to live, no, that money will run out once you're, you know, paying your bills and stuff. You need to have income. So money to spend on the business, income, right? You need to have income, and you need to have a cushion so that if income isn't flowing in the way that you thought, because it's not, that's the difference. Hello, the only difference. Well, there's a lot of differences. But one of the main differences is you don't get paychecks, right? You get a paycheck twice a month? No. You might get 30 payments over a month, right? But you don't know exactly when all of those are going to come. Even if you have dates on invoices, even if you, you know, I would say now, let's go ahead and throw it out there, set the intention to manifest people who pay on time, right? It changes everything. I have some clients right now who are just the greatest payers, and it brings me so much comfort and joy. Whereas I spend a lot of years just saying like, oh, you know, people pay when they want to pay. And I didn't set the intention that I was available for people paying on time right away. And I have clients like that I have to send 10 emails. I know they're going to pay, but I have to send 10 emails to get the payment, right? So I would say set the intention that more of your clients, you're always going to have the people to some degree that you're going to have to massage a little bit around receiving payment. Yeah. But put enough things in place where you can have some clockwork type payments without... You know, everybody's like, oh, you need to have your bread and butter, but I don't like that terminology because it's mired in accepting less, you know? So what do I think about this? Figure out your income. Figure out how you want it to flow, knowing that it's not going to be predictable like your paychecks. Though, if you're thoughtful about it, you can put some things in place so it feels like a paycheck. You know who does this well or who talks about it from the mindset, though she doesn't explain it energetically, I think she just said, I set the intention, is Amanda Francis with her payment plans. I think that that's where she created like a feeling of a paycheck, right? But there's a lot of different ways to get there. You don't have to make courses and do payment plans. I don't do any payment plans. I have one service where there's an option to pay it in 3 increments. But that's pretty much it. Unless a client and I arrange that they're going to do it in payments, it really just doesn't work very well for my business. I hate chasing money. I know that about myself. And so I don't do it. I have clients who've been enrolled with me a long time where I know their style and I have to send them a bunch of reminders. But I know that they're going to buy. That's just the way they roll, right? And so I tell you all of this to say, figure out your income, but first have a vision for it. If you want all clients that pay on time, yeah, hold that and believe that and believe that and believe that and believe that. Are you hearing me? The repetitiveness of that? Believe it. All my clients pay on time instantly, rapidly, and amazingly, period. And I giggle because even I'm holding limiting belief. Oh, no, it can't be like that. No, this is bullshit. You create your reality. If you believe it, that is what you will attract. So set up your income. So have cash on hand. So money to spend on your business, money to live on, which is the live on is your income, right? It could be a severance even. It could be unemployment. It could be a bridge job. You need money to live on. And you need a cushion. And don't look at your cushion as, oh, I'm going to live on the cushion. If you, because then it'll just go away and it won't be a cushion anymore, right? But you want it there if you need it, right? And you need it to get you through, like, oh, you know, something's due on this day and you know a client's going to pay on that day. You can pull from your cushion to cover you, right? So, and depending on your passion business and how your retailers are set up, if you're working with a retailer, one thing I can say is they pay like clockwork. I know on my book business, Amazon, all the other retailers that I'm with, they pay like clockwork. So you could look at that and say, well, oh, well, if you're in the book business or I don't know, if you have a retailer that does a system like that, where they pay on a certain day every month, you could look at that and say, well, that's going to be like a paycheck. And so then I want that paycheck to be this number. And focus on that number and then do your part to make that a reality. It's not so much about what you do. It's more about what you believe when it comes to this money business thing. You're going to get whatever you believe you can have, right? So do spend a lot of time really locking in the reality that you are only available for. So if you do want only clients that pay on time and you still have a little giggle in your system, if that could be possible, or you're afraid, or then you need to spend time saying, no, I'm willing to believe this. I'm willing to believe this. God, show me some people who are running businesses where 99, we'll do it there, right? Because maybe we can't get to 100%. 99% of their clients all pay on time, like clockwork. Got it? Or you are selling a product and whatever retailer that you're selling with, they pay you on time and the check looks like this. Or if there's another way that you're doing all of this, that you are really clear about what that income is. Because really that's going to be the difference between where you are in your job and where you want to be, is just working out the details of income. Because chances are, if you are looking to transition into a passion business, you're probably already spending money on it, right? Whether it's art, whether it's books or trainings, you're already spending money. So you do have a sense of spend on your business, right? And most of us have some cushion. It may be smaller than we want it to be, but most of us have some cushion. So you already have all the pieces in place. The one that's so scary is the income. Will people really pay me? Yes, they will. If you build it, they will come. Okay. So, but this point was have some cash on hand and spend on the biz, live on, and a cushion. Yeah. Number five, study your market. But only study it to the degree to which it helps you bring your unique offering to the marketplace. What do I mean by this? I think people can overstudy their market. I think they can study their market and then just copy a bunch of people. And then, well, sometimes copying is good, right? Not a full on copy, no, but being another voice in a lot of people. The struggle with this is, if you spend so much time just studying your marketplace, you might be missing that brilliant spark of wisdom that can only come from within you. And that's the offering that's going to actually sell. So everything in my business that consistently sells, I made it up. Anything that I thought that I was bringing my fresh take on something already in the marketplace doesn't sell all that well. Yeah. But the things that came from within me, that spark, that genius, that idea, that stuff sells all the time. Yeah. So that's why I'm saying to you, do not overstudy your marketplace. Who explains this really beautifully is Amanda Francis, actually. In her book on Rich as Fuck, there's a section called Business Lies and Something Else. It's essentially her business chapter. And she kind of goes through the lies that we all buy into around business. Read that chapter. Highlight that chapter. And yes, she's going to be talking about personal development and coaching, but just sub in your industry for whatever she says. Because it's straight up truth that will save you 5-6 years, because so much of the wisdom that is contained in that chapter, if I had heard that when I started my business full time in 2012, actually, let's go back, like when I started my podcast 2010, it was a radio show then, internet radio show. When I started my internet radio show, which now is in, you know, new internet land called podcasts, I wish I had that data, because it took me seven years, I'll be honest, to learn all those lessons that she neatly, beautifully, magically packaged for you in a chapter. From market saturation, market research, all that stuff that the world tells us that we need to be focused on paying attention to, she explains to you why it doesn't matter all that much. And really, it's your drive and your determination. I'm going to say this. This is my part. It's your drive and your determination that's going to really set you apart. Are you willing to get up and do the work? You know, I had a friend of mine after my divorce. I launched my books, and the first two, they flopped. I put a lot into those books. And so I wound up crashing on my friend's couch for 2 months in 2018. And I hadn't spent a lot of time with her, you know, since starting my business, probably no time with her. And so, and I was living in LA, and, you know, she would get up to go to work and I would already be up. I had to strain coffee. She didn't have a coffee maker. And so, which is fine, and I didn't want to spend the money to buy one while I was staying with her. And so I'd do pour over coffee, which I'm so shitty with measurements. It was awful coffee, but I would still get up and make it every morning out of habit and drink it and be up working. And she's like, I can't believe you're up working. I'm like, the same way you're getting up and you're going to your job right now, that's the same thing I'm doing. That's it. It's the same mechanics, right? Earn. You do what you do have to do to earn. I hope you can hear me snapping. It's a rhythm. You just, it's no different. Yeah. Well, I mean, you have a lot more. I mean, if you choose to, you have a lot more time freedom. I love my time freedom. So going back to this, you got to do your drive, your determination, you willing to get up. is going to make the difference. So as you study your market, you're just looking at it and just tuning into yourself to say, what feels like me? So here's I'll give you this piece, just maybe it'll help. When I started my business, 2010, personal development, spirituality was a lot different then. Hay House was the big mama jamma, and they had a radio. And I listened to it all day at work when I wasn't, interviewing people or talking to a client. Anytime I was doing like database stuff, checking email, I was listening to Hay House Radio. And so the way I studied my market was I asked myself, what would I be drawn to and how would I find me? That was the question I asked myself. And so because I was listening to a lot of Hay House Radio, I'm like, oh, I'd probably find myself on a radio show. I listen to a lot of radio at work. And that's how I started a radio show. Yeah. Yeah. So, and at that time, because of Hay House Radio had a lot of, well, I think all of their shows were call-in shows. I think at that time, yeah, not just their psychic shows, all of them were call-in shows. I was like, oh, I'm going to do a call-in show. And so the way I found that it was the easiest to do that was Blog Talk Radio. And so that's how I wound up on Blog Talk Radio. It was very easy for people to call in. They'd be in the queue. I could take calls. That's the degree to which I studied my market. And I'm so grateful because those were effortless. When I started listening to all the business gurus and the internet people and, oh my God, the dude who was a smart passive income guy, he used to have his like, I made this much money this month. He used to have that ticker up on his website when you logged in. When I started listening to all those fools and comparing myself to them, and fools, I don't mean it like that. I mean it in a derogatory way. I mean in the sense that they have a way of explaining things that make you think that that's the only truth, but there's a lot of different truths, right? And so when I started to buy in that there was the only truth and I was chasing their business model and not respecting the business model that got me out of the gate and earning to the degree to which I could sit online and listen to these people all day, I was doing something right? But I let all of that noise convince me I was doing something wrong. And I needed to do it their way. And it took me, God, I think it was like about 3 years that I spun in that wheel. I still earned because it's a vibration. So as you study your marketplace, as you listen, tune into you because you have all the right wisdom within you to turn your passion into a profitable enterprise. Yes, you can pick up pieces of wisdom from the voices, but if it's a voice that's telling you that there is the only way, I would tune them out. There is truth, right? There is truth. But when it comes to business, there's a lot of different truths. And the only real true truth is, one more time, earn. That's it. Put that on a post-it somewhere. Earn. 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 That's it. And you get to have the time of your life doing what you absolutely love as long as you remember. That's it. Earn. Whatever you have to do, send the email, do the work. Whatever that work is in your business, do it. If you're hanging out, beating yourself up, taking 500 different courses, yeah, it's going to be harder. There's a time and place for that, though. Okay. So number 6, your unique offering. So what are you offering to the world? Know what that is. What do you want to do? Do you want to sell little ceramics? That's my offering. That's your unique offering. I think people make this question too complicated. In the business world, what do you love to do? What are you being inspired to do? What feels really good? What feels accessible? So you know your unique offering. Follow your heart instead of copying the market. Do what lights you up and brings you joy first. I think we've hit the point where copying the market is oversaturated. I'm going to use that word. Copying is over. There's too many copies. It's oversaturated with copies. So your unique offering now more than ever is going to be exceptionally valuable, right? So I love Insight Timer. I love it. I love it. I love it. But I listen to a lot of money meditations. And I kid you not, 75% of them, they're pretty much copying. I listened to one last night. It was really beautifully done. And she had this echo effect. And I really, you know, I felt fucking transported. It was so good. And I had to tune out because as she really started to get into the healing and the messages, and she was doing these affirmations really rapidly. And I was like, oh, that's Amanda Francis. Oh, that's Amanda Francis. I was like, oh, that's Amanda Francis. And whoever Amanda copied, you know, I don't know. I haven't taken Denise's course. So I always wonder how much Amanda, you know, plays on that. I do think Amanda has her own unique voice, and she gives some wisdom that I've not heard in a lot of other places. I'm not saying that, I mean, this is universal truth if you're in the self-help spirituality game. So yeah, you're going to hear some things, a lot of things over and over again. But you know when it's someone else's voice, right? And so here it was, this brilliant, amazing affirmation, meditation, healing. It was so good. Until she started to go into Amanda affirmations. I'm like, why didn't you just take the time to rewrite them in your own voice and based on your own understanding? Your unique offering. Your unique offering. And yes, the whole presentation, I do believe, was her unique offering. But don't stop short. Make it your unique offering. That is what the world needs. So study your market to the degree to which you have to. Know where you fit in that marketplace if you need to, if that makes you feel good. But more so, put your unique offering out there. Whatever it is that you do. Whether it's writing a product, whatever it is that you do, put that out in the world. So your unique offering, trust yourself. And here's my thought. Instead of copying, steal like an artist. Read that book or just Google the summary and get the gist of it and steal like an artist. Then it's no longer copying. All right, this is part one of my How to Quit Your Job and Start Your Passion Business. I'm Amy of Intuitive Coaching with Amy. These shows are all in support of my spring sale. It'll probably be one more or two more. My spring sale, 50% off. All of my services. And I can help you navigate this journey to quitting your job and starting your passion business. Let me help you. Information on my services can be found at intuitivecoachingwithamy.com. You get intuition, you get rock solid, hard-earned wisdom, knowledge, and a lot of spiritual understanding and energy understanding. So working with me is one stop. One step. Let's do it. Intuitivecoachingwithamy.com. Spring sale. Last day is today. Thank you. Thank you for listening to the show. I pray it's helpful. Thank you.